Now we've looked at healing and mediation and seen how empathic connection helps in these areas. Now let's look at a related area, reconciliation. It's very similar to mediation, except that in mediation we have some specific conflicts that haven't been resolved, and we try to resolve them through the use of nonviolent communication. In reconciliation, it's not necessarily that there's a specific conflict that's alive right now that needs to be resolved, but ongoing animosity or pain between two individuals or between two groups. And once again, like in mediation, if we have nonviolent communication skills, if we have the ability to empathize, to empathically connect with what people's needs are behind judgmental messages they make of the other side, we can be of great support to them in reconciliation, in creating harmony between the two sides. For example, in Israel and Palestine, I was able to identify groups that wanted to work on reconciliation. They wanted to know how to relate more peacefully with the other side. So I met with a group of about 15 Israelis and 15 Palestinians for the purpose of reconciliation, helping get beyond their pain and learning how to work together toward creating peace in the area. And I started the session with these 30 people, somewhat like I do mediation sessions. I said, I'd like to have us talk about what needs of ours are presently not getting met. My experience is that if we can understand each other's needs, that we'll be better able to connect with each other in ways that we can work together for peace in the region. So anyone who would like to express your needs, please start. Well, a Mukhtar, who was a mayor from a Palestinian village, in response to my suggesting that people express their needs, he looked across the table at the Israelis and said, "Do you people enjoy acting like Nazis?" He was referring to a law at that time which allowed Palestinians to be put in jail on suspicion for up to 6 months without a trial. And this, of course, was very painful to the Palestinians to feel that they could be on just suspicion put in jail for up to 6 months. And this was this mayor's way of trying to express to the Palestinians how painful it was, how his needs for safety weren't being met, respect weren't being met, his need for fairness and justice weren't being met. Very strong needs. But he didn't have the vocabulary to express these needs in that way, and it came out in the way that he expressed it. Are you satisfied to be acting like Nazis? Almost immediately, an Israeli woman jumped up and started to go to the door and said to me, "I knew I shouldn't have come to this meeting. I knew you couldn't work with these people." And I jumped up and ran after her before she ran out to give her some emergency empathy. I empathize with how painful it was for her to hear that. And when she felt that I really understood her, she could hear my needs. I told her that I was confident that if she could come back, we could communicate and hear each other in a way that we could work together. And she, at first reluctantly, came over, sat down, and I helped her to understand what the mayor of his village was trying to say. So I said to him, "Mukhtar, from your statement, what I'm understanding is that the law is very painful for you, this law that allows Palestinians to be put in jail on suspicion for up to 6 months." He says, "It's very painful. It's not fair. And so you'd like some understanding of how painful it is and how it doesn't meet your need for fairness or justice." He said, "That's right." And then I had the Israeli woman that was so hurt by and frightened by the message. I had her reflect that back. And she could then see what he really meant behind the words. And, of course, the energy between the two of them changed. So here is an example of nonviolent communication in reconciliation work. When you're trying to get two groups to work together, and conflicts like this come up where they start to have criticism of one another, the reconciliation takes the form of helping empathic connection take place by helping people to identify what their needs are that are not being met and how to express it without putting it in the form of any criticism. But if the people don't know how to do it that way and the other side gets incensed by it, we can contribute to the reconciliation by helping the people on the receiving side learn how to hear the needs that are being expressed through the message. I have worked with this kind of reconciliation efforts in both the Middle East between Israelis and Palestinians. I have done it between the different groups at war in Serbia and Croatia. I have worked with people in Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis, and it's very hopeful to me to see how groups that have been through a lot of pain in relationship to one another for long periods of time, how the reconciliation can be furthered when we can assist both sides to express their own needs, to hear the other side's needs, and not to hear any criticism, but just to see each other's humanness. I had a similar experience in the United States when I was mediating between a group of landowners and a group of Mexican farm workers. The tension was about farm workers walking through the property of the landowners as they came in each day to wait on a street corner for people to pick them up and hire them for work in the fields that day. They lived up in the mountains in shacks, and the quickest way for them to get down to where they could be hired required going through the property of other people. And this had stimulated a good deal of violence between the two groups. The mayor had previously arranged for the two groups to get together to talk about it, but the sessions had started off very difficult and got even worse. So I was asked if I would come and apply nonviolent communication in the restoration of peace and harmony between these two warring sides. And we had about 20 from each side in the room. And when I ask who would like to start, whoever would like to start, I'd like to hear your needs being expressed. I'm confident if everybody expresses their needs and hears everybody's needs, we'll be quite able to create more harmony between us. So who would like to start? Well, one of the farm workers screamed across, "You people are racist." And one of the landowners screamed back, "You people don't have any respect for property." And once again, my job as the person trying to contribute to reconciliation, I had to translate these judgments they had of each other, had to help each side hear the other side's needs. And after about 2.5 hours of doing this, both sides could see how helpful it would be to continue to have discussions, but discussions where they could keep hearing each other's needs and not see each other as enemies. And they agreed to continue these kinds of discussions, and it turned out to greatly help the two sides work in harmony with each other.
This concludes Session 7 of the Nonviolent Communication Training Course with Marshall Rosenberg. Our program continues with Session 8.